Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel, turn your mining hat light on, and let's dig into the Word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Today we're going to look at love and family dynamics. Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious and everlasting Father, we are so grateful that you love us, that your love is pure, your love is without requirement, without strings attached, that it is pure, unconditional, unchanging love. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for your scriptures today. And as we look into them, we ask you one more time to open your scriptures to us, that we may see you in them, that we may understand and we may behold you. And we ask you also to give us the grace to be open to your scriptures, that they may work in us a change and goodness, that we may reflect you from our very being. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise the Lord. As I said, we're going to look at love today because we're coming right up on St. Valentine's Day, and people think of love. And if you when you think of love, you have to think of God, because He is love. He doesn't just love as an act. It is who He is. Anyway, so if we're going to look at love, we kind of have to look at some origins, don't we? And that leads us to the bestest book of all, the book of Genesis. As I've explained numerous times in this program, but it bears repeating. When we look at the book of Genesis, it's a little bit special in that, as we know, the title originally was not Genesis, because that's a Greek word, and it was a Hebrew book. But Genesis is what we kind of approximate it, because we think, oh, that's the book of beginning, that's the origin, and that's what Genesis talks about. But that's not the only meaning of it, to say in the beginning, that prepositional phrase. Of course, the first is God created. That's where it all started. But that prepositional phrase, we can kind of use that like the title, can't we? In the beginning. It is a book of beginnings. And a book of beginning means it's a book of firsts, F-I-R-S-T-S, firsts. And for something to be first, it has a dual meaning. It can mean it was the commencement, but it also has to do with significance, doesn't it? The first man in space and the first child in a family, they are not only the first with commencement, but what happens is when there is a first, oftentimes there's a change. Like the firstborn child in a family changes the dynamics in that family. It's no longer just a couple. It is not just two people. Now we are a unit, we are a family. So something has changed. Your first day in school, you no longer are the little baby at home. You are now a student. You are entering into your life. Your first haircut. Those things, while they may be the first in commencement, they are also the first in significance because it marks a change. First can also be having nothing to do with commencement, but have to do with significance. For example, when we use terms like in the state, the governor's wife, if it's a male governor, is called the first lady. We do the same in the country, the first lady. In many times, that's a phrase used in a lot of churches. They have a male pastor, and the wife is called the first lady. Now, I know a few pastors' wives who'd be pretty upset if that meant they were the oldest woman in the church. You would probably get some bad looks. But it means first as in significance. We give you a place of honor. And so the first of something can mean, you know, it has a significance. So the book of firsts not only holds the story of creation and the commencement of things, the patriarchs and how they came down, but all the things in Genesis also have significance. And I firmly believe that almost every principle or spiritual law of any importance, any, you will find the roots of it in Genesis. The promise of the Messiah is given in Genesis. It finds its completion, of course, in the Nativity, and then the work of redemption is completed at Calvary. And the Messiah coming back to set up his kingdom, of course, is in Revelation. But the root of all that, the seed of the woman, is where? In Genesis. And talks about that he will bruise your head. There, the promise of those things. We know that, of course, the Levitical priesthood started with Moses giving the law, but the priesthood after that, Jesus is the priesthood, it's after the order of what? Not Leviticus, not a Levitical order, but the order of Melchizedek, the priest that without beginning, without end, that is where? In Genesis. So many of these things, you will find the principles, the laws, that have overriding significance will be in Genesis. So we also know, of course, that love is in the book of Genesis. God so loved us, didn't he, that he gave his only begotten son. And so that was our beginning. Our Genesis is not in that we loved God. And I think that's in what John, but that the epistle, but that it's not that we love God, but that he first loved us. We wouldn't have even have the capacity to love him if he did not first love us. And so there is those roots of that and family in Genesis. So we're going to look at one of the most, one of my favorite characters in Genesis is Jacob. Jacob gets maligned a little bit, and I always am for the underdog, but there's some things. And of course, whenever you look at, I've just spent a great deal of time with a lot of my family and my first cousins, my mother's family, and it was really great because you really do see, we may not see it in ourselves, but as we look at others around us, we really see the influence of our parents and their parents. We see those generational things that come to us, some good, some not so good, but that doesn't mean we're limited to that, but it does mean that it does have an effect on us. And so I wanted to look at that, the love in a family. And Jacob, so the stories of Jacob, you can kind of skip chapter 26, because that has to do with Isaac and the wells. I can't remember if I've shared that in this a series of broadcasts, but we can do that sometimes because that's fun. So there's the twins are born in chapter 25, around 20. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebecca to wife, and then she's pregnant with twins, and they're born, and they were tussling all the time. So even from the womb, we had that idea. Verse 27, and the boys grew. It's the seeds of things are often in us, but it's how we grow that they when they are revealed. The boys grew. Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. Sometimes he gets a little bit maligned for being what they call a mama's boy, but you know what? He learned a lot, didn't he? It was his mother who saw that the blessing wasn't going where it should go. Birthright, she didn't have much to do with, but the blessing. So she intervened. Okay, you can say, I got a little bit different take on that, that it's because Isaac wasn't keeping his eye on what God wanted for him, that he didn't automatically just bless Jacob. The Bible says in, where is it, Romans, that God reports, you know, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Anyway, but then remember when Jacob runs away and he lands at Laban's house, we know for sure he didn't know anything about herding flocks, but he learned it from his wife. He learned it from Rachel. So he had the capacity to learn from women, and some men don't have that capacity. I think it's a good thing. Not always, but some of the time we need to learn from those around us. And I don't just mean men from women, but women need also to learn from those that we would not normally assume would know something that we should know. We can't let pride stop us from knowledge. We need to be able to learn. Anyway, so we're talking about love. And you know the story. Let me read the one about the birthright. Jacob sought pottage. That's in verse 29 of chapter 25. Sought pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with some of that same red pottage, for I am faint. And therefore his name was called Edom. So he had come from hunting, and, you know, hunting might be a little bit more glamorous and dramatic and masculine and all that, but the plod along guy who just was cooking soup in the house, that was the one that still had food, didn't he? Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. Verse 32, now maybe that wasn't the best thing of Jacob, but look, because it was an exchange. Look at 32. Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do me? That was his internal reasoning. Jacob said, swear me this day, swear to me, and he sold him his birthright. Verse 34, then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. So, you know, nice little, maybe he made it the bed into a little bowl and put the soup inside. He did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. It was not that Jacob stole it. It was that Esau despised it. And sometimes we think, oh, how could anybody do that? But he sat down, and it says he ate and he drank and he got up and went off. And that's how he despised it. Sometimes it's as simple as wiping our mouth, isn't it? We eat, he wiped his mouth, and he went his way. And that is it wasn't a big deal, except in his heart, he despised it. And here, listen to his logic. Behold, I'm at the point to die. What profit? I don't know that he was at the point to die. He was hungry. But I know I've been there. You just gone without a little food and you feel like you're going to die. Behold, I'm at the point to die. What profit shall the birthright be to me or due to me. Just because you're hungry is not a reason to sell off your birthright. And that, I think, is the heart of despising it. And you think, it sounds so silly, but how many times have you seen, well, we could talk about Christianity, but we can talk about a lot of things, that when things get tough or things get hard, we sell off that which is of value. Just because you get discouraged does not give you the right to sell off your integrity and your honor. Just because times are hard doesn't mean that there are certain things that you should do and therefore despise a birthright we've been given. Just because I don't like what somebody says doesn't mean I should sell off my integrity, my honor, my belief in freedom of speech. Just because somebody lives their life the way I think is wrong, it doesn't mean I have the right to just give up my values. I don't have to include them, but just because things get tough for me, just because I can't work it out, doesn't mean that I have the right to capitulate. I think that many times we don't think about it. There are ways that we will serve the Lord when it's easy or convenient. But when we've been in situations that are tough, when we've been under pressure, when we've had everything going wrong, does not give me the right then to take that out on those who don't know it. You know, I won't belabor it, but we can look at things and, oh, how could he do that? And yet how many times have we compromised or capitulated when things are not comfortable or convenient or easy anymore? When do we compromise our character, our integrity? Okay, enough of that. So that's how he despised his birthright. Then we know the story when Isaac is getting old. And Isaac says, man, I don't know how long I'm going to be. So he told Esau, you go out, hunt, and get me venison. Okay, you come back, you know, go with game meat. Come back and fix it the way I like it. Bring it to me and I'll eat it. And when I eat it, then my soul will bless you. Okay. Well, their mother overhears this, right? Rebecca overhears this and kind of colludes with Jacob. And they cook up this pottage. And then they said, oh, but he'll tell by my hands that I'm not a hairy man. So they put a disguise on him. Isaac couldn't see well. So he ate the meat, but he said, "This is you don't sound like my son, so I'm going to, he said, let me feel your hands." This is in chapter 27, verse 20. He says, oh, how is it that you got here so quickly? So he already has a hint that this shouldn't be, right? Oh, because the Lord brought to me. Isaac said, come here that I can feel you, whether you're Esau or not. And look at verse 22. Jacob went near his father. He felt him. And he said, and I love this verse, this part of the verse, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And I know I've used this before to tell you about identity. How do you know who's who? I mean, just genuinely. We identify people, well, because when their name comes up on our cell phone, but we identify people by their face and by their voice. Okay, I suppose if we could by their retina. But these are actual things that people use for identity, isn't it? Facial recognition and voice recognition. But you and I do that. We see somebody, we hear somebody, and it's their face not what dress they're wearing, because they can change their dress. Not how their nails are done, because they can get a different thing next time. It is the voice and the face. The other thing that carries our identity is our name. Anyway, so first off, Isaac says, you're back too soon. And then he says, come here. And he says, quite bluntly, the voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hand is the hand of Esau. And he chose to use the hand as the identifier instead of the voice. Now, that may sound silly, except for think of this. How do you know God? If you only know your God by his hand, by the thing, by, and hand biblically is the part of the body used to represent our actions, our deeds. You know, I see the hand of God in that, or the power of his hand, etc. So when we talk about hands or arms, the arm of the Lord was stretched out. That's his actions. Okay, what we do by our actions. But the voice, and Jesus said, my sheep will know my voice. If you can either follow God, know God, by his actions or by his voice. The thing about when somebody's actions, you can be deceived. Remember the man with the sons of Sceva, they were good, and that's, he's not the only one, but Simeon and a few others in the New Testament said, well, we can do those same deeds and we can be called one of Jesus' disciples. The demon looked at him and said, Jesus, I know, Paul, I know, who are you? Because even if you do the acts, you know, and use the same name, the name of Jesus, doesn't mean that that's who you are, okay? They were deceived, I can't remember the town it was in right now, when a sorcerer came, and he could do the works, he could do the healings, he could do the this, he could do the that. And so they said, oh, this one must be from the same. No, there is a difference. And if the only way you know God is by the things that he does, you can be misled. You need to know the voice of God for yourself. And I'm not going to follow just anybody who feeds me. I have to have, and that's again, remember, that's how Esau despised his birthright. Because it's like, oh, it doesn't matter more. What I'm going to follow is my tummy. The Bible talks a lot about people who let their belly be their God, don't they? And a lot of times we can do that. Your boss might ask you to do something that's a little bit less than straightforward. And if you compromise, that's letting your belly, because that's your paycheck, be your God. So if you just follow the acts, and that's why sometimes we can be so upset if a leading, I don't want to say man of God because they may not be that, a leading minister proposes something or tells people to do something and people follow them. And we say, oh, well, shame on him for leading his people that way. Well, shame on the people for not being able to distinguish the voice of God inside the voice of man. Oh, but I love that place because I love the music, or I love this, or I love that we're on TV, or whatever it may be. You have to be able to distinguish between the acts of God and the voice of God, because I don't follow God. Maybe when we're young, we follow God when we see him do things, but you have to know him. That's, again, going back to love. I haven't forgotten my topic is love. So this is the second place. But look what it says. Isaac says, the voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hand is the hand of Esau. He knew that it was Jacob, but he chose to follow his, you know, that this is the hand. He chose to deceive himself. He chose to be deceived. Why? Because of the meat which he ate, right? It said, Are you my son Esau? And he went and he felt him, and he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him some wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now, and kiss me, my son. He came near, and he blessed him. He smelled the smell of his raiment, and he blessed him. He knew who it was, but he chose to let his belly lead him. And so in a lot of ways, he truly, Isaac, Esau was Isaac's child, without a doubt, because the same way Esau had been led by his belly, Isaac had been led by his belly. And, well, I know we like those guys, and yeah, but that's what I said. We're talking about love. We wanted, in both instances, the men despised the blessing, despised the birthright, because they were more invested in what fed them, what made them feel good, what made them feel satiated, what delighted them. One said, oh, doesn't do me any good if I can't eat. Well, the other thing is equally true, isn't it? That what I would rather die, if I'm going to die, then I'm certainly going to die with my birthright. I'm not going to give it up just for that. Okay, I know it seems like I'm going far afield, but I really, really, really do have something to come back to. I want you to see, we do know that Jacob was definitely the son of Rebekah, but Esau was the son of Isaac without a doubt. That when it came down to it, Isaac became an old man and didn't even seek God. Who should I bless? He said, well, whoever feeds me, that's who I'm going to bless. Ooh, that's kind of a scary thing, isn't it? So whoever gives the most money in church should be the deacon. Or whoever appears to pray more and be pious, that's who we will elevate to a position. And we may deceive ourselves, but just because we're old and enjoy those privileges doesn't mean we don't still have to seek God and get God's mind on it. Remember how it says in Romans, we'll turn to there real quickly if I can. Romans 9:13, let me get there real quick so you don't think I'm just making it up. Romans 9:13, it says, about 12, it says, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. And as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. So if Isaac had sought the will of God, the mind of God, he would have known that God loved Jacob and God despised Esau. When Esau despised God, it's not that he despised him, like, you know, but he despised him because Esau had despised God in his birthright. So we go back, because I am talking about love. I know it doesn't seem like it, does it? So let's go back then to Genesis chapter 25, and where I said, now they grew, and then we saw how they grew. That was when Esau despised his birthright. So anyway, they came out together, verse 27, and the boys grew. And Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. Read 28. And if you're driving your car and listening, mark it down and go back and read it. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat his venison. It was way before the selling of the birthright, way before the deception of the blessing. It just says, as they grew, Isaac loved Esau because of he did eat the venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Full stop, period. It doesn't say because of. It just says that that Rebekah loved Jacob. So we see two parents, two sons, and the one parent loved the son. Full stop. Rebekah loved Jacob. That's all. And so when later when we see that she did a little underhanded thing to get Jacob the blessing, maybe we could forgive her because it may have been motivated out of love. And she also knew, maybe, that Jacob was God's choice. But it says that Isaac loved Esau because of the venison which he ate. And as we come into Valentine's Day, I told you I'd get back to love, didn't I? We have to examine our hearts. Do we love, full stop, or even in spite of, God loves us in spite of ourselves much of the time? Or do we love because of? It's easy to love because of. Because you do this for me or you do that for me because you make me feel this way. I love going to your church because I get attention and recognition. I love being with you because you think I'm funny. I love being at your house because you make a fuss over me. Do we love people because of how they make us feel? Because they feed our belly. And by belly, I mean our lower nature, our flesh. Does it make us feel good? There's nothing wrong with feeling good. But if that's what motivates you, if that's what draws you, if that's what pulls you, that kind of love will deceive you into either selling a birthright or throwing away a blessing, not hearing the voice of God. It says that Rebekah loved Jacob. Full stop. When we love, that's how we should love. We should love, full stop. We should love without conditions. We should love without a payback. We should love without circumstances. We should love in spite of what's going on and never because of what we get out of it. People can so, even all of us can be so easily deceived. Everyone loves to be loved, so we can love people who love us. I think the prophet said that's not a big deal. Anybody can love somebody who loves them. But to love those that despise you, it's not so easy. Jesus called us to a higher love, not just to love those who love us, but love those who despise us, love those who mistreat us, love those who treat us badly. We can make a decision now that love, not because of, like Isaac, who almost made a huge mistake. I don't think we would have wanted Esau to stand in for Israel, because even though Jacob had some issues, the Lord knows he did, like every one of us in our families, we all got issues. But it's what do we do about them? Do we grow? Do we change? He went from Jacob to Israel. There was a change in his life. But Esau stayed Esau. I want to love in such a way that there's a change in my life. It's not judged on what I've been, but the opportunity to become something better. And that's what the love of God gives us. And that's the same love with which we are to love one another. And that's what I'm going to carry for Valentine's Day. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, God, for all of us who are seeking you, seeking your voice, seeking your love, seeking to love others in the same manner you love, that we truly may reflect that in this world, and that you expose to us where we are so easily deceived by our own lusts, by our own desires, by our own belly. I ask you, God, to give us that grace to love those who don't love us as they should. It takes your grace to love them, that we may know not only that they may know you, but for our sake, we may know it's your love in us, because without you, we could not love that way. For you are love, and we wish to in all ways reflect you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for spending time together. Looking forward to being with you again next week. God bless.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Thank you for joining God in the Myth, Get 'Em Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Enjoy the entire family of Get 'Em Radio broadcasts by calling 619-639-4733. That's 619-639-4733. Now, mark your calendar and set your cell phone alarms. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic Healing with Elder Philip Harkey is on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the Thursday edition of God in the Myth airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 619-639-4733. When you have an opportunity, Google Get 'Em Radio. That's GITM Radio. And listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Get 'Em Radio's on-demand archives. As you listen to our archives, click the follow button and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at getemradio@gmail.com or call us at 903-776-4486. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Mist, M-I-D-S-T, and like us because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him.